Minister Michael Jensen was unable to be with us tonight, and he prepared the title of the sermon and had given me two verses and also a reading from the New Testament. But he didn't give me the sermon. I trust the Lord will give us the sermon that we need to hear. I want to begin with the repentance. Repentance is one of the best words ever in the Bible. Because as Michael Jensen says here, as we sorrow over our sins, our sorrow will lead us to salvation, will lead us to the bosom of our very God. For he has made a covenant with us, a covenant that he himself fulfilled. For there is nothing from our part that we could do as a party in the agreement we have. That is what this means. The covenant is a contract between two parties. But the Lord himself, he wrote the covenant, the contract, but also he fulfilled the terms and the conditions of the contract himself. And all that he wants us to do in order to enjoy this contract, he cannot entertain sin, for sin is his first enemy, because death came into this world through sin, and sin is what has marred the image. We were created in the first place to be God's image bearers. So sin is the first enemy. That is what really hates, that God hates so much. He hates it because is the sin says that God is unable. He's unable to enjoy his creation. God is not powerful. God cannot fulfill the promises he made. So God moves to tell Satan and to defeat him. Well, we have in the history we have here, King David fell into an adultery. And so he slept with the wife of a man who was fighting for the cause of Israel. And so this man, he just violated all the principles of the covenant, that he should not have any sexual immorality. He should not have any sexual relationship with a wife that was not his. As a man in the family of God, that is what the Bible says, that the families of God are sacred, are holy, are called to be a holy nation, and to obey their God, and not to commit anything that would really displease God. Well, David did this, but here the prophet moved swiftly to confront David. The prophet Nathan came to David and confronted him with his sins, and God declared that he's going to judge David. We read that from verse 7 of chapter 12 all the way to verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 12, we see the confrontation between Nathan and David. And while the response of David was what we are wanting to focus on tonight, this, when he was told that what he did was very bad, this is what the Lord says, out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you to humiliate him. And then the Bible says that the Lord says, and then that these people will have your wife in the broad daylight. You have done this in secret, but I am the Lord God. I will expose you to be shameful in your community. I will expose you and I will humiliate you, the one that I have anointed. And now you did it in secret, but I will do these things in broad daylight before all Israel. And this is the response of David. He says, this is that David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. What a word. I have sinned. Verse 13. I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. This is the very word that the Lord wanted to hear. I have sinned against you alone. To you alone I have sinned. And David said that in Psalm 51. To you alone, O God, I have sinned. Because the Lord God who has made this covenant, and he will move to to speak swiftly to David. And well, we need to see here, there's one thing we need to see clearly, that this repentance is genuine. And I fail to bring today a word written by St. Augustine saying that he was praying to the Lord that caused me not to run away from myself, to confront myself with my sin so that I can bring it to you, not to hide. So he said, turn my face to my face, so and then my back again to my face, so that I face my sin and then confess it. So sometimes we try to hide our sins, but the best thing is to bring it before our very eyes. And God in his grace, he will cause our heart to lament and have a sorrow. So the problem today, people will want to repent with their lips, with their tongues, but their hearts are not repenting, are not seeing the deep hurt they made to God's heart. But God, in his grace, when he moves by his Holy Spirit to convict us of sin, we will have a genuine repentance that can lead to salvation. And that is the best things, because the Lord God himself, he knows that. Whether we are saved or we are not saved, we cannot do anything to help ourselves. In fact, even for us as believers, we have a double responsibility. What is the double responsibility? We have in the first place that we are not to sins. Number two, because of this great love and the high position we have been brought into. That is why in the New Testament it says that the godly sorrows bring repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness to clear yourselves. What indignations, what alarms, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. And Apostle Paul is saying the fact that the reason we will not sin is because we will subject the name of the Lord to disgrace. That is what also here Nathan says here. But because because by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt, the son born to you will die. One of the best reasons and that help us as Christians not to go against the Lord is because we don't want to make the enemies of our Lord to boast and to say that the Lord didn't do a deep work in us, didn't make us righteous enough, didn't make us holy enough, so that we are not following our Lord, that we are not faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And so you determine not to do these very things. And it's one of the best ways to keep yourself to have a zeal for the glory of God and to say that because he has loved me so much and he would go all the way to the cross and endure shameful death to redeem me, to make me righteous and to be heir of the kingdom of God and to be declared sons of the Most High God and to be looked after for God to make all the connections to work for you and for God to look after you and to use you even to make some come to the kingdom of his son. So what a privileged position as God's children, and also to be instruments for the comfort of others. And so here we see that David is repenting, and it's God's grace working in his heart to repent, and God is going to help, and even though the child is going to die, and then he is going to continue. Well, second things we need to know also is he who has been forgiven and comforted by this power of forgiveness can also comfort others who are mourning. That is why in verse 24 that David was able to comfort his now wife, Bathsheba, and he want to and so they went on and life went back to normal, and now he has to take responsibility and move on and have a child, another child called Solomon. And here even the name which means Jedidiah Jedidiah, which means loved. God to say, I did this out of love, not of your faithfulness, David. You have utterly failed, but I have not failed as God. I have mercy and grace. And now this man, having the genuine repentance, now also is able to comfort. Well, sometimes we try to help people, isn't it? We try to help people, but we will help people so much when we are right with God himself. We will have all the grace from God to be able to help other people. And that is why Jesus said, for the sake of these ones, I sanctified myself. And also we can say this, for the sake of our brothers and sisters, we are also to keep ourselves. And King David himself, he was raised up to be the king, to be the leader of Israel. And the house of David and the covenant that God has made, we're going together. And David, he went against all these things and made that serious mistake. Well, God is faithful to the covenant he has made. It was not out of the faithfulness of David that God forgave him, but it was out of his mercy, as he saw in him genuine repentance and genuine sorrows. So he repented of his sin. And here we are encouraged as Christians that when we face difficulties, also we are not to forget that we can repent and be encouraged and be comforted, so we can go on being a blessing. If we say that if we fall in sin of any kind, let us not be discouraged. Let us repent, seek genuine repentance. For we have seen, even though David did a terrible mistake, so God was also gracious. And we also in the New Testament, we have been encouraged not to sorrow like those who have no hope, who have no redemption, but we are to regret our sins. We are to believe and trust that our Lord is able to lead us into repentance, which leads again to salvation. And so King David, though as a hero, but the Lord God here is the heroes of all. God will always come closer to the brokenhearted, those who are lamenting over their sins, even sins of unbelief, any kind of sin. If you truly lament it, even just to have unbelief and say, declare to yourself that I shouldn't be in this place, my Savior lives, and he has promised that he will not leave me. So, and even we have seen in this history, God again assuring his love for the covenant people. And it's not that because they were faultless, and the same thing with us, but because we have a Savior who loves us so much. So a sorrow that leads to salvation is what we look for, is what we want. Not a repentance that is out of genuine sorrow. We will never find rest and comfort from our sins if we don't seek to lament and to be sorrowful for a hope. The Lord God is calling us today to not be like those who have no hope in this world, but we have a Savior, and a sorrow that leads to salvation is at hand. Jesus wants us to be a people who know how to repent. It's one of the symptoms of the problems of the church in the modern time. It's very hard. We don't repent as we should. While I was in South Sudan, there was these two gentlemen who came. There was a man by name Francis, a new man, Francis. We were chatting. Really, something spoke to me about him. He was sharing with me how good it is when you pray to the Lord. And he said to me, actually, when you pray and you are really in fellowship with the Lord, you cry. You cry. He was describing these things with joy. I could see that in his face at the airport as they were picking me up. And I marvel at that this man could describe, really, when you are in intimate relationship with Christ, in praise. So even you can cry. That was what he was saying. And how much if it is a cry of repentance. So let us hope that our repentance are really genuine of anything. And this is the the need of the hour, true repentance from the heart that will touch the Lord. That was David demonstrated to us, that he repented truly from his heart. And the result, the Lord declared his love for him. And even he was used in the midst of his calamity. He was used even, the thing is, this is still, the consequences are just present with him. But even the consequences couldn't stop God from moving and moving forward, advancing his kingdom. And so if God is not going to advance his kingdom, it's not because he is not offering us forgiveness or even comfort. It's because we are failing to truly repent of our sins. Let us pray.